Hey everybody, Chuck here. Before we get started, I just want to let you know that CritCon 2025 is live. Once again, we're hosting a game convention in Portland, Oregon this October 24th, 25th, and 26th at the Hilton Doubletree, right off the Max Line near downtown. Killscream is back with Killscream 4, a two-day tournament with two golden tickets on the line. It's 2 days this year, October 25th and 26th, with some amazing prize support as usual, and the Kill Team Cascadia Bounty Board for charity, as well as a painting contest to go along with it this year. This year on Friday, we also have Kill Team Doubles. You push two boards together and fight with your partner against another team, deal with shooting across boards, sharing command points with your partner, and battle through three rounds against two opponents. This year, we have a bunch of other game systems too, including Star Wars Shatterpoint, Star Wars Legion, Horus Heresy 30K, and Marvel Crisis Protocol. If you took some of the hobby classes last year, don't worry. Painting classes return this year, along with Dan Osborne and Useless Wizard from last year. We have former Privateer Press studio painter Matt DiPietro and Portland local Selnar teaching classes Friday through Sunday. We also have discounted rooms available at the Hilton Doubletree. You can find all the info at CascadiaTabletop.com or in the show notes. Tickets are on sale now. We hope to see you there this October. Come show Connor your feet. So you spent the weekend deep diving into the Death Watch Kill Team with the people that got the boxes early, but now you get to hear from the people that watch the people that got the boxes early talk about what they think about it on the Vox Cascadia podcast. Welcome back, everybody. My name's Chuck. I'm here with my homies Tyler and Connor. Say hello, gentlemen.
Yo. How you doing, gentlemen?
We aren't quite cool enough yet to get the boxes before they come out. We're not quite influencer status. Like and subscribe, join the Patreon. But we vaguely know how to read. We've mostly listened to other people talk about them, and we're gonna use what they've said to tell you what we think about them. So but first let's do a little catching up. What have y'all been up to? Connor, you and I got to grab a beverage together in Fort George, the unofficial sponsor of Vox Cascadia this last week.
Yeah, we did. I went camping for Labor Day for like 2.5 days, which was pretty fun. We drove down the coast because I hate driving through I-5 because that means I go through the worst part of Washington, which is Centralia, Chehalis traffic zone. So we went through Astoria and met up with you, and you got to hang out with Sierra and meet her like properly. Not even like properly, but a proper discussion one-on-one where you guys just talked about how weird I am. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah, there's nothing that brings two people together than talking about what a weirdo you are. And
100%.
And actually, Sierra had a great idea. I really liked her idea. So we were talking about slow play and time clocks a little bit, and her idea was we do time clocks like Flava Flav style. So everybody has a giant fucking time clock on their chest.
You know, I like this. I like this. You know, the Northwest is known for our unique flavor of Kill Team. Let's Flava Flav our scene.
I'm trying to figure out how this works. Would you have just your time on it, and then when you're done, they'd have to be like Bluetooth connected, and then you have like your time on it, and so the opponent can see your time, and then just like when you're done, you like slap your chest, and then it pops over to the other opponent.
Yeah. Do we have any amateur electronic engineers? Anyone who's like good with like Arduino or Raspberry Pi?
I'm shocked you're not. I just figured you'd have like, oh, like back in like 08, I helped found a Fortune 500 company. This with a friend that, you know, made all that shit.
I mean, like, I could do that, but like, you know, it's not like in my like direct wheelhouse. Am I capable of it? Probably not building the clock portion, but like programming it. Yes. You know, but like someone who's like good with hardware stuff.
Now, you know, when you say Adreno, you mean like Adreno Chrome, right? Like that the mm-hmm. stuff that the Democrats are all sucking out of children in the basement of pizza shops?
Absolutely. 100%. Because we know the Democratic Party is the party full of pedophiles. Release the Epstein files.
And that the 3 minutes in and we've gone woke.
This is why we don't get the boxes. We just get distracted too quickly.
Probably.
No, I'm distracted. Like, you know, we're on topic for our listeners. You know, we had a recent complaint that too much Kill Team discussion on the podcast. Like
Greg. Not naming names, but Greg.
There was maybe like one or two others, but like you know, like we got to keep on topic for our listeners. We are a Kill Team podcast with a big air parentheses here.
Yeah, Kill Team adjacent. Let's actually. So I feel
hobby,
like we have to
hobby
like,
adjacent,
hobby adjacent, Kill Team adjacent. I feel like we need to like fulfill our duty to talk about Kill Team a little bit, and then we can talk QAnon and Pizzagate. Because it's going to be the number one Kill Team adjacent QAnon Pizzagate podcast soon. So Nova Open happens this last weekend, actually. Adrian Bonavento with Higher Tech Circle took them down. You had a Ryan Wilfong with Gellerpox at number two, JP Wiener with Blades of Cain, Liam Garrett, Plasma Spam, Raveners, Jeshua with Kid Kelly, and Jeshua had a Raveners, I believe, too. Jimmy Kelly was there, friend of the show. With Nemesis Claw, Mike Cortez with Sanctifiers, and then Kevin Starr with Raveners. Also, the Vox Scream boys were out there too, and two of the three of them were Reckon. So you had George and Joe both out there with the Recca crew. So appreciate y'all representing for the Orkies guy.
The Florida crew was out there too. Like they were killing fucked. They came in first in team. So. Like, way to go, Florida. You know, my buddy Cam was in there. I think he finished 13th in the GT also. So, really solid. It was all sharks there. Like, really, really aggressive field out there for you know, like, congratulations to everyone who was playing and who won and who just did, like, good in general.
Yeah, I looked at their lineup. We've got a back channel Vox channel between podcasts, and I was looking at the lineup, and it was a fucking gauntlet. Absolutely. Mark from Vox Scream took Felgor out there too. It was like I was looking at the placing, and like everybody I know of, I mean, I don't know personally, but I know of the top like 20 people, which should tell you how like stacked that was.
Absolutely. Like it was a stacked field. It probably one of the most stacked of the year so far. I think like Tacoma was maybe the only one a little bit more stacked than this.
Yeah. We also had Connor, you and I were talking a little pre-show, and actually I think this is something we should explore. I think Tyler would be really interested in it too. Talk about your game you want to make.
Oh, yeah. So, like I was talking to Chuck, I mentioned it the other day, Corius Khan and that guy Corius on Instagram. He's just been inspiring me with his, like, Necromunda but Heresy era stuff. And I want to do something like that, you know, create a game that maybe two people besides me will ever even look at the rules of, but it's just more of a fun exercise. But a mix of, like, Mordheim with specialized warbands and like gear equipment and whatnot, Kill Team rules because I like alternating activations and I like the general simplicity of Kill Team at its core, and then Heresy era because I just think that's a really fun era for a lot of cool war bands where it allows for a simple enough that everyone can understand it because there's generally only three factions between like the Solarox, the Mechanicum, and the Marines, but you can still get a lot of customization between those three, mixing and matching and stuff.
That sounds cool. Like, I think you should go for it. Like, anything like that's an exercise of like pushing your skill and abilities is worth it. You know, like I still have like a long, you know, distant dream of like getting a zine put together. Zach, I know you're listening. I know you're one of the major contributors and organizers of that. I'm still thinking about it. It's just, you know, life and CritCon planning and other events gets in the way, but like I think that you should pursue it because like exercises and creativity are like what make this hobby incredible overall. And like I'll play it with you. I'll play it at TruckCon 2026.
Oh god, next year's 2026. Yeah, but sweet, thank you. Yeah, it's that sounds fun, and yeah, it's something that I've like been kicking around because I want to do something kind of like Chucky combo with some of my friends up here and this in the, you know, Kitsap area. Because all of us, for the most part, from what I understand, are going to be home for at least one of the weekends in December. And it'd be fun to do like a game, like a mini tournament, but not actually a tournament, but just like a narrative design theme. So maybe that could be something I try and implement in, as well as I've just been having fun reading a lot of the End Siege of Terra stuff, where Terra and Earth is just like a hellhole. You know, it's a proper wasteland. So it would really fit to have all these roaming war bands, or not even war bands, but like squads, just trying to make their way through a destroyed planet during the Heresy.
Have you thought about doing it pre-unification? So like pre-Heresy.
Ooh, that could be fun too. That's like, not a bad idea.
So you're limiting it, because like we have a decent amount of lore about the existing tribes on Terra pre-unification. Okay, so like we're building off of something that's existing here, and we're working with a limited scope that's already kind of mapped out for you. So you have like a set number of archetypes to work with, and then like war bands to kind of create from there. You know, so like you give it that setting, you give it like a really like gritty grim dark, and you could have the Imperium as one of it. That way you're incorporating Space Marines too, which everyone loves Space Marines.
That's not a bad idea. And then, like you said, Space Marines are popular, and that's what gets people's foot in the door, especially if you're, you know, just Warhammer adjacent. They're fun to build, they're fun to customize, and it gives you a fun just painting project. But making it like pre-unification can be cool too, because then it's a lot more model adjacent stuff where anyone can just build whatever and it would work, because mm-hmm. it's pre-unification. There's no STCs or templates or any of that shit. It's just sci-fi and post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, exactly. And like you can pull from like any kit, you know, like gives people a lot of like free range to kit bash. So like, you know, if you're keeping it like kill team-esque, think you like create like pretty limited like lessless building, more like predefined war bands, you know, maybe like archetypes or something.
Yeah, and then I'm not sure how familiar you are with Mordheim, but I like Mordheim's system where it's a lot of, you still have like a little bit of list building, but they're very themed. And like if you're doing a sorcerer one, like a lich, mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a lich, his assistant, his two monsters, and then a handful of little goblin ghouls to run around, versus like mm-hmm. the Bretonians are going to have a bunch of knights and everything, very elite, almost Space Marine-esque, versus like the militia is going to be a swarm of just human dudes.
Yeah, like maybe you build it where you're taking like a, say like a leader, and like or like kind of like Brood Coven, where you're taking like a hero or two, and like a couple specialists, and then like a couple goons, you know.
Yeah, that could be pretty fun. Another guy I want to shout out really quick. Actually, two shout outs, but another one would be, oh god, Massian Haymet, who I'm posting in the chat right now, but his was the guy that kind of like also amplified this, because he did a cool like Chaos Android Death Guard build, and I was like, that'd be a fucking cool kill team, if I can figure out where the, there we go, chat is. And then also I want to shout out the kill team app, or like fan app, Kill Team Cards. I've been working with the like owner and creator of it, Jason. He's been wonderful. He's the guy I've been using to make all those maps. I know the Vox Scream guys have worked with him before. They have a couple map packs on it. But I've been working with him to get some of the more narrative terrain for Into the Dark added into it, because he didn't have any copies of the books. And he's been wonderful to work with. So if you ever want to find just like a really useful thing, because it has all the maps on it, as well as you can pay like $2 a month, I think, to make your own maps in a pretty simple thing, check out Kill Team Cards. He's awesome. He does great work. And Jason, you're sick as shit, bro. All
right, Jason, sponsor us. I know you sponsor Vox Scream.
Just, oh, does he?
He does actually too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just doing it out of kindness of my heart.
No, sponsor us.
Yeah, first plug's free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's how we get you in. So, it sounds super cool, Connor. I'd love to see you flesh it out. We had talked about a game of Kill Team a while back where you just pick any operative from any team, and we never really like went any farther with that. But so I think
this is a fun exercise. I think we did of like what would be the most like broken team you could build if you were to do, I think, only Imperium guys with no Marines.
Yeah. Let's talk about actually a supposedly broken team from the Imperium with a bunch of Marines. So let's talk about Death Watch. The rules for the Death Watch just dropped this past week. And like I said, we're not the cool influencers. We're the
coolest influencers.
We're the hipster influencers, I guess. Like, we're too cool to like actually get that stuff early, so we just steal off everybody else's rules that they put out for us. And I've listened to Just Another Kill Team podcast that had Mountainside Tabletop on. I was listening to Command Point. I listened through Kill Team Casuals, actually. And I was listening to a little bit of Squad Games. And so I got a little bit of a feel for the team. They sound super cool. But I want to approach them from a Vox Cascadia view. So we're gonna talk about the operatives. We'll talk about the team a little bit, talk about each of the operatives, and we're gonna talk about what would be the best chapter for those operatives to come from. So
yeah,
and Tyler's been thinking real hard and deep on this. So
I have a good answer for all of these. Like, sure. You know, like very lore accurate.
Yeah. So Deathwatch Kill Team, it's five operatives. You have 11 operatives you can select from, but you only got 10 Marines in the box. So you need to procure a extra Gravis body if you want, because the Gravis guys, there's three Gravis guys and you can only make two of them. It sounds like it might be pretty easy to magnetize the one. They are Seek and Destroy and Security. So they got some pretty good archetypes. Currently, we'll see what happens, because the new approved ops are actually coming out, I think, the same day that the Tomb World box drops, actually, it looks like.
No, they're the next day, I think, or next week.
I don't know.
The pre-orders for them went out this Sunday, or rather, they go. You can start pre-ordering them this Saturday, but they didn't mention them in the article, so I'm assuming they're still coming out a week later.
I don't know. I've looked at a couple things, and I thought I saw that the release was actually going to be on the 13th too. I was
I think it is.
I was looking at Bridge City Hobbies Discord. Bridge City Hobbies is going to be sponsor of Killscream, actually, too. We're getting our all of our swag from Bridge City Hobbies, including we're going to have at least one Tomb World box. But I've seen a couple places. I think the approved ops might actually be out the same day, even though they didn't come out the same time.
Weird, but hey, that's nice at least then.
Yeah, hopefully, that'd be cool. So yeah, you've got
no articles about approved ops yet this week.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen anything about it yet, especially since they are up for pre-order now. I know that some of the, like I said, the cool influencers got the approved ops cards already and actually did battle reports. Like Mountainside has a battle report that they did for Deathwatch and the new Necron team, but they can't even show it until this weekend because that's when the embargo ends for the new approved ops. So I think they're running the new approved ops in it.
Interesting. I have caught up on half of the command point Necron video, and that's it.
Yeah, I haven't dug into the Necrons yet. The Necrons seem much more complicated, and so my wee brain needs to just start with the Space Marines. And I'm actually honestly more excited about the Space Marines, anyways. So,
you excited about Space Marines?
I know, weird. It'd be like you being excited about a toaster or AI feet.
Yep, those are things I sure do love.
Yeah. So for their faction rules, they have Veteran Astartes. So they're Astartes like most Marines. But with their rules, they can actually do two actions, two shoot or two fight actions during their normal activation. If they use like a special weapon, like the auxiliary grenade launcher, frag cannon, heavy plasma incinerator, it's an extra AP. So like most heavy weapons with like Angels of Death, say. But they can also do a additional one AP action for free during a counteraction, but they have to do different ones. So on their counteract, they can actually counteract, like they can do two things on a counteract.
That's kind of a crazy action economy, honestly. Like, cause they're getting their Overwatch sooner, you know, like, and then like when you get with, we'll get into the operatives later. But like this gets a little nutty, you know?
Yeah, you're going to be able to, like, if you can get in, you can charge and fight, or you could fight, and then if you kill somebody, you could shoot. So
shoot, charge, and then counteract, fight.
Yeah. Shoot. They also have a staple of the Death Watch. They have special issue ammunition. So once per turning point, when a friendly Death Watch is performing a shoot action, you can use this rule. If you do select one of the following rules, you can basically add, except for your grenades and melta bombs, you can add a keyword to it. So you can do add blast one, devastating one, lethal five, piercing one, rending, saturate, or severe. So all the fun keywords that you want, it's very situational and very thematic for the Death Watch.
And it's on any weapon too, like.
Yeah. Besides grenades or melta bombs.
Right. Like that's kind of wild. Like, you know, like all their crazy special weapons, which we will get to again, like any of these rules when you want it.
So for their operatives, let's start with the sergeant. Now, this is a weird team because you don't have to take a leader. You can take any five operatives. You can only have one Gravis operative, though. So you have a Death Watch sergeant. Most of these guys are going to be 3 APL, 6-inch move, 3 plus save, and 15 wounds. The Gravis guys have 18 wounds. The Phobos guys have 13 wounds and a 7-inch move, but, you know, pretty kind of standard Marines for whatever mark of armor they're wearing. So he's got a plasma pistol, same normal plasma pistol stuff. He's got a power weapon, 4 attacks on 3s, 4-6, lethal 5. But he's also got some extra stuff.
That's nice in itself, just the fact that he can have both the power weapon and the plasma pistol.
Yeah, so he's going to be a combat monster. But you can do, he has the abilities on his data card, adaptable armory, so you can select one additional equipment. So we'll get to the equipment down the road, but all the Death Watch equipment is really good. And then you can add another one just by taking this guy. And he can do strategic command, which once per battle, you can use a strategic ploy or a firefight ploy for free. So you're basically, if you keep him alive, you're getting 2 extra command points with him too. So while he is a sergeant, he is the leader. You don't even have to take him as the leader. You're always going to take him because he's super good. So
he's super good. So what chapter would you guys take him as?
Connor, what chapter would you take this guy as?
Tome Keepers, because they're my favorite. They've talked about before that in their little White Dwarf articles that they have a lot of guys that are valued by the Death Watch because of their whole thing of recording every instance of battle they've ever been in. So I want Tome Keepers wrap. They sadly did not get a shoulder pad, which made me sad, but it is what it is.
I mean, I'm going to go with Ultramarines, because this guy sounds like he's the tactical leader. He's bringing the right equipment. He's letting you use extra ploys. This is the Ultramarine guy for sure. Even though they made him up as a White Scar, so it's kind of tough not to do that. But I'm going to go Ultramarines. Tyler, what do you think? What chapter would you bring in?
It's easily Dark Angels. Like, you know, First Legion, like the best Legion. Like, if it's going to be a sergeant, if someone's going to be commanding it, you know, like it's going to be Dark Angels.
So that's the sergeant on a 32 mil base. Everybody's on 32s except for the Gravis guys, which are going to be on 40s. We then have the Aegis veterans. So this guy is super cool. I don't know. Like, Command Point was asking how you kill this guy. So 3 APL, 6-inch move. He's got a 2-up save, nice. 15 wounds. He's got a bolt pistol, which is a bolter, but range 8. But he's got a power maul and storm shield. So 4 attacks on 3s, 4-6, shock and shield. So whenever he's fighting or retaliating, each of your blocks can be allocated to block 2 unresolved successes instead of 1. So shield action, he can block 2. He's also got storm shield. So whenever you're shooting him, you worsen the piercing rule of this weapon. So piercing 1 is ignored. Piercing 2 becomes piercing 1. So and you'll see some other stuff too, that there's damage mitigation on these guys. There's a couple other different things. They can heal with some of their equipment. So this guy's going to be an absolute monster. Like, he's going to be super hard to kill. I think he's, you know, you got to go Imperial Fists. This is the wall. I definitely go an Imperial Fist with this guy. I think he's going to be an absolute tank to try and move, especially when we get to the damage mitigation stuff. Connor, what chapter are you going with it?
I'm continuing my theme of trying to do no like major chapters. Castellans of the Rift. They're one of the Ultima Foundings, all about, being Castellans of the Rift. So being a shield wall against all the horrors coming out of that. Well, they're mostly fighting against demons. They'll fight the occasional Xenos, and a guy with a shield would be good for that.
And Tyler, what about you?
You know, like when I think of like a shield, and like, especially like with this guy's rule, I think about army with like grim resolve, like implacable, no fear, you know. And like when I think of like chapters that like personify that, I think of the Dark Angels. I just think the Forgiven, they're known for their maces, they're known for their shield work. It just really fits the theme. If you want a successor of the Dark Angels, you could go with Disciples of Caliban. They're known to be extra impetuous.
Okay, so moving on to the next one, we have the veteran Blade Master. He's a Tacticus armor, so he's got the 15 wounds, 3 up save. He's got a bolt pistol, special edition bolt pistol that just adds piercing crits 1. But he's got a Xenophlaze blade, which has a couple of cool profiles. So he's got the dual profile, which D-U-E-L. He's going to be 4 attacks on 3s, 4, 6, brutal, lethal, 5 up. And then he's got a phase sweep, which is a 5 attacks on 3s, 4, 6 damage, brutal, lethal 5, lethal 5, and sweep phase. Or maybe phase sweep. So first off, he's an adaptive swordsman, so you can't modify his to hit. You ignore changes to his hit stat with his Xenophlaze blade, so you can't, you know, use your contagion or poison him or whatever to move him up to 4 pluses. He can also fight first. He can resolve a success first, and then he can do a block with that. His phase sweep is pretty cool because you can basically, like, if you perform a fight action, if you're not incapacitated, you can immediately fight again with the same weapon. And then you can continue to do this until you basically, like, you die or there's nobody else to kill.
Yeah, that's crazy, honestly. Like, you know, given the right circumstance, you know, wiping 3 guys in a single attack. If you ever do that, post it up. I want to see photos of like the before and after, you know, show us the operatives you killed with the Xenophlaze blade and that big old sweep. I want to see it. Show me your glory.
So Tyler, who's your blade master? How are you going to paint this guy up? What chapter are you bringing him from?
I mean, like when we think about like great swordsmen in the Imperium, you know, like there's a lot of them. But like really it comes down to the Lion is the greatest. Azrael, another one of the greats. You know, like we have what was the gentleman's name from the Heresy? You probably know it, Connor.
Lucius?
Corswain. You know, Corswain, absolute badass. Probably the best swordsman, you know, like for those that know.
Hey, I mean Sigismund's still there.
No, like, I mean, like, he's up there. He's up there for sure. But, like, Corswain, like, let's be real. You know, yeah. Like, the First Legion, the best Legion for a reason. So like, Dark Angels, you know? I mean, like, that wasn't their fault, though. You know, like, if you've read the Heresy novels, you would know, right?
Connor, what Legion are you taking this guy from?
I'm going to go with Blood Angels Successors of the Cruer? Blades, C-R-U-O-R, not sure how to say that because I'm not smart, but their whole thing, you know, Blood Angel successors that weren't there during the Tyranid invasion of Baal, they've been on the Penitent Crusade ever since, specifically against Tyranids, so that seems good for Death Watch hunting them down, and then also their shield, or their chapter symbol, is 2 blades crossed with a blood drop. That seems pretty good for a guy with 2 blades who wants to get in close and take your head off.
I mean, I think I maybe go Black Templars with this because, like you said, Sigismund was such an amazing swordsman. I feel like this comes down through the lineage, so I'm gonna have to go with the Black Templars here. So, next we got the Bombard Veteran. So, frag cannon with a shrapnel and a shell profile. So, shrapnel is, I think they're missing some pieces of this. 5 attacks on 3s, 4, 5. Or the shell is 4 attacks on 3s, 5, 7 piercing 1. So he's a gunner. He's got
All the operatives on this team, this is the one that's the most boring to me because it's just a rocket launcher guy just without the heavy reposition keyword, which is like still good, but
it's really good.
It's just not exciting, you know. It's just he can move and shoot. Or if he's already in good position, shoot twice with that profile, which again, like, it's not bad, but for such a cool gun, I was hoping for a little bit more, like, oomph to it.
I mean, with the special issue rounds, you can add a little more oomph to it. So, the frag cannon, the shrapnel profile actually has Torrent 2 on it as well, too. The KT battle kit doesn't have that quite yet. So, it does have a little bit of blast to it.
Oh, like pseudo blast, but yeah, I don't know. I was just hoping like maybe he'd have some sort of like gets a reroll against blast attacks like they have on breachers occasionally. I just for Death Watch, I figured every guy would have some special data card thing. So the fact that he doesn't, kind of a bummer.
Yeah, there's a couple There's a couple guys in here that really don't have anything extra. He's the sergeant's kind of one, but in the bombard veteran, he's just kind of solid. But no crazy flair. So Connor, what chapter you bringing your bombard veteran from?
Go to Tyler first, because I need to recall the name for this one. I'm checking my list, but I can't find it now.
Tyler, what about you?
You know, like, when it comes to, like, relic weapons and, like, Xenos tech and, like, archives of, like, forbidden weapons, the people who know how to handle those best are the Dark Angels, you know? And so, like, we're going to have to go with that. If we want to go with, like, a second founding chapter later, we go with, like, one of the Ultima founding ones, like Knights of Abhorrence. They're known for committing a large amount of people to Death Watch. So,
all right, Connor, you did you remember it yet?
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot these guys. Sons of Medusa. They're the beautiful, like, emerald green. I don't know if that's the right color. I'm bad with colors. Yeah. But this, like, lime green, emerald green. Maybe a little bit. Sierra and I have had many discussions as to whether or not I am when, like, we're talking about the colors of cars. But they're green. They're green and they're cool. Mm-hmm. They're attached to some of the, like, coolest history of the Imperium with the Mora Schism. And they're just Iron Hands. So, you know, they always got cool guns and shit like that. So, you know, put some cool lesser known chapters in there and put the Sons of Medusa there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure on this one. I need to do more research on this one because I need to find a chapter that has, that's just like a gunline chapter, because this guy feels like a gunline guy. So,
I mean, like, Imperial Fist successors would probably be where you'd want to look for that.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. So I'll go Imperial Fist successor to be named. So, a more exciting Gravis guy is the Breacher Veteran. So Breacher Veteran, by the way, the Gravis guys have 18 wounds, 5-inch move. He has an auxiliary grenade launcher. He's a Hellstorm bolt rifle to start off with. So 4 attacks on 3s, 4, 5, torrent 1. He's got a auxiliary grenade launcher. So just basic grenade launcher, 4 attacks on 3s, 2, 4, blast with for the frag, 4 attacks on 3s, 4, 5, piercing 1 with the crack. And he also has a melt a bomb on him too. So 4 attacks on 3s, 5, 3, range 3, dev 3, limited 1, piercing 2, heavier position. So, not only is he running around with a crazy bolt rifle, he's also he's got a melt a bomb just for shits and giggles too. So, this one feels like another, this feels like another Imperial Fist successor chapter to me. Tyler, what about you?
I mean, like, again, like, when we're looking at who can deploy, like, siege weaponry the best, Dark Angels are known with their, you know, their Dreadclaw and stuff like that. The Iron Wing, both of those are known for their absolute mastery of siege throughout the ages, and then their advanced plasma and melta access to all of the troubles of that. I'd go with Dark Angels. You know?
Okay. Connor, what about you?
So, I was originally thinking, yeah, Iron Hand successors would probably make sense, or like Imperial Fists, you know, classic stuff there. But then I was thinking, like, you know, he's a breacher that wants to be going through walls and clearing rooms and stuff like that. I was thinking Necropolis Hawks would be good for that. They're actually a Raven Guard chapter, but they're successor chapter rather, but they're known for, like, dealing with war zones and hive cities and stuff like that. Beautiful blue and what? Yeah. Oh, wow. I just had a stroke. Like, sky blue ish color scheme, with a little bit of yellow highlights. So, you know, I like that. And, just, you know, they're city fighters. So they're going to be having to breach through walls. And even if they're known for, like, more Phobos armor, they're going to have some Gravis guys. And I think that would be cool to represent them here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Gosh, what am I? I don't have a good answer on this one either. I need to do a little more research on my chapters. I just want, because I'm like, I, it feels like another Ultramarine to me. Maybe another.
You just know, like, the mainline ones. You don't spend time watching stupid YouTube videos on, like, endlessly remote and pointless chapters, don't you, Chuck?
No, I watch other stupid YouTube videos.
I mean, like, you know, the real fans read Lexicanum.
I did go down a big Luton hole for a while. Sounds gross. watched a lot of Luton while I was painting, but all of his videos are like an hour and a half long, and then they're in four parts, so didn't get all the best information. So next one's an easy one for me. So Horde Slayer veteran, so Infernus Heavy Bolter, he's got a bolt pistol with him as well too. He's got a flamer, 5 attacks on 2s, 3-3, range 8, torrent 2, saturate. He's also got a bolter, it's 4 attacks on 3s, 4-5, piercing, crits 1, torrent 1, focused attack, 4, 5 attacks on 3s, 4-5, piercing, crits 1. This is 100% a salamander for me. Like, he's got a flamer. He's got to be a salamander, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it definitely could be, you know, like, as far as like other chapters that are known for like fire, there's the salamanders, definitely. They have the mastery of it. But you also have like Guardians of the Covenant, which are Dark Angel's successor, who basically took on the branch of the Dark Angels from the heresy that focused in melta weaponry. And as we know, the Dark Angels are the best legion, you know, like, they're better at everything than everyone else. They are the model for all the other ones. And so, like, to have that access to that kind of armory, because we all know that Dark Angels really, you know, it's all one chapter, like all the Unforgiven, they all answer to the Dark Angels. So Guardians of the Covenant, or, you know, just like a Dark Angel, pretty dope.
Tyler, you had a stroke there for a second. I think I'm pretty sure you said that the Dark Angels is the best chapter. So, and I apologize for our viewers, listeners out there to have to hear that. So, Connor, what did you pick?
I'm going to go with the White Templars. You know, Flamers, like Tyler said, known for a lot of chapters. Black Templars would be a big classic one, you know, Purify the Heretic, all that jazz. But I've always been a White Templar guy. Unfortunate, because it sounds real bad, especially in the modern political scheme. But I just liked them. I think they were kind of cool that there was like other Black Templar chapters that weren't necessarily the Black Templars. They were in that cool animation with the like Psyker during the Tithes, I think it was. And, you know, there's Templars, so they're going to still do a little bit of purifying, and it's a flamer without being as obvious as a salamander.
So this is an obvious one for me. Demolisher Veteran. He's got a big heavy thunder hammer. He does extra shit on the charge. He's -1 damage when you're fighting retaliating. 100% a Blood Angel on the edge of the Black Rage. Connor?
Ooh, that's not a bad one, Chuck. I didn't even think about Blood Angels there, because, you know, like, everyone thinks heavy chapter with that. But I'm going to go with the Patriarchs of Elixis. They're that chapter that has pretty much nothing known about them, but they're fighting Vashtor in that really cool picture of, you know, Vashtor, like the one artwork we have of him. And, you know, that guy makes forge monsters. Like, that's his demigod status. And you know what a Thunderhammer's really good at? Breaking big, scary monsters. So I think that'd be a natural fit, because they are at least dealing with Vashtor and his guys recently.
Tyler, obviously this is not going to be doesn't say Dark Angel at all. So what chapter would you,
think of, like, just like, again, Unstoppable Fury. I think of the Dark Angels, you know, like, masters of all forms of combat, there, you know, again, if you want a second founding chapter or whatever, we go with the Consecrators, you know, they're really known for their prestige in that close combat there.
So we then come next to our first Phobos, actually. Disruptor Veteran, Marksman Bolt Carbine. He has a Omni Scrambler, and he has an Advanced Auspex, so he can kind of do those same things with the Phobos. This is kind of saying, it's kind of saying Ultramarines again to me, because I feel like this is a very tactical guy. He's going to lock down someone, and he's going to find other people so they can be shot. He removes obscuring. Target shoot. Yeah. he can also scout other guys. So, but he's got the Omni Scrambler. So, and it's a D6 Omni Scramble too. So you roll a D6 during the strategic gambit, and you potentially, like, you'd have to activate 6 guys before you can activate the guy this picks. So sorry, he does not remove obscuring though. Connor, I picked Ultramarines. What are you going with for this one?
I'm going with the Mentors chapter. They're literally, as the name suggests, supposed to mentor other chapters, particularly new ones, because they're a fourth founding, I believe. Oh, no, sorry, unknown founding, but they've been around for quite a while. And this guy seems like a very supportive role. He's going to sit in the back line, let people take better shots while maybe guiding them through that. And again, that seems like a very mentoring and therefore mentors chapter action to do.
Tyler?
You know, like, I think that, like, when it comes down to scouting, like, when we're looking for people, when we're trying to find people, it's really the Dark Angels are known for their ability to hunt down, you know, just, like, unwanted elements of various groups.
Next, we have one that I have been waiting for in Kill Team for quite a while. I was hoping that the Angels of Death would actually incorporate these. We have the Gunner Veteran with the Heavy Plasma Incinerator. So 5 attacks on 3s, 4-6 piercing 1. He can go hot, so he comes 5-6 damage. Lethal 5. He's got a bolt pistol as well, too. I've got some Hellblasters painted up. I was excited for these guys to come in. I wanted more special weapons in a Space Marine Kill Team. I'm going to go, I'm like, this guy says Dark Angels to me, actually. So I'm going to go with Dark Angels. I know seems to be a theme, but I don't think Tyler picked Dark Angels for the 10th straight time. Connor, we'll go to you first. What do you got for the Gunner Veteran? When you give this guy the special issue ammunition, he has a blast plasma.
Yeah, that was something I was going to mention. Because, again, this guy's really cool because it's a plasma gun with 5 dice, which is awesome. Again, a little bit sad. There's nothing on the data card beyond that. Mind you, it's a 5 blast, 5 dice.
What do you need?
Exactly. Like, you don't really need more. I would like it because I'm a little I want everyone to be special dumbass, but I was gonna go with Tempest Guard, mostly because this guy seems like a blank slate, and we, like you said, might have a bit of a Dark Angels theme here. But Tempest Guard, not a lot's known about them. The only thing they're really special to me is they inspired my own chapter's paint scheme relatively, so I'll go with them because they're nothing and they deserve a shout out for having a cool ass color scheme.
I mean, you know, Chuck, you hit the nail on the head when it comes to the chapters who are known for plasma. It's Dark Angels, right?
I thought that was the White Scars.
No, they're just fast.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, like, you know, but like Dark Angels are known for their bikes more than the White Scars are. So, like, who has an entire model range of bikes? It's not the White Scars.
Did we get updated ones for them, or they still got the old ones? I mean, we got the
Raven Wing.
Yeah.
We just got, you know, we haven't got updated Raven Wing, but it's coming, you know, rumors say.
So, another Phobos operative, the Head Taker Veteran. He's got a special bolt issue bolt pistol, so piercing crits 1 on that. He's got combat blades. He's got some, he can do he's a Reaver, basically, so he can do the grav shoot and grapnel launcher, so he can climb easy, he can drop easy, and then he's actually got some cool stuff. He can clandestine head taker charge from conceal. And then if he charges you whenever he's fighting an operative that wasn't visible at the start of the activation, you can strike first and strike twice. So that 4-5 combat blade becomes, you know, 8-10 damage right off the bat. So this guy sounds like I'm going to go Raven Guard with this guy, feels like to me.
Yeah, that's a fair choice.
Okay.
Yeah, fair choice, you know. Like also like another Raven theme. We have the Raven Wing. They're known for the infiltration and scouting also. And their assassination strikes, which the Dark Angels are known for. Did you know that the Dark Angels sent a kill team to infiltrate Terra at one point?
How'd that go?
It went pretty well. Like they made it all the way up to the, you know, like the gates of the Emperor's throne room. So like, that's pretty solid, you know? Unfortunately there was another Dark Angel there who beat them. So
Connor.
Oh, excuse me. Well, you know, this guy, I made the joke earlier, but I realized, whoops, I did it too early. This guy takes heads, and Chuck, what's the bones inside of a head?
The skull.
And you know what chapter is known for decorating with the skulls of their enemies and allies?
The mortifactors.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Shout out to our boy Cody. He loves those guys. And again, mortifactors are fucking cool. For real. They literally put skulls on them. That's hardcore. It's pretty badass. This guy's meant for taking people's skulls. So let's go with the mortifactors. One of the weirdest Ultramarine successors.
Absolutely. The coolest Ultramarine successor, honestly. Those guys are fucking weird. Their little short story is totally worth a listen or read.
And our final operative is the marksman veteran. So a lot like the marksman from the Phobos team. He's got a Stalker bolt rifle. He's got a couple profiles with it. Heavy profile, which is 4 attacks on 2s, 3/5, piercing crits 1, lethal 5, heavy dash, or mobile profile that's basically a bolter, 4 attacks on 3s, 3/4. He's got vigilant marksman, so he can actually guard on any kill zone. So you can put him on Volcus, Octarius, God forbid, Beta Decima, and he could actually perform the guard action. And if he's in Galadark or the new Tomb World, he can actually guard twice. So this guy is going to lock down a room. I'm thinking Ultramarines. So tactical, you know, he's going to stand at the back. He's going to just see the battlefield and he's going to manage the battlefield. He's not going to run in like a crazy person, like my Blood Angels. He's just going to murder people from range and then do it again. So Tyler,
you know, like when you think about like classic, like again, just like steadfast gun lines, you think of the Dark Angels. They're good at it, you know. In most editions, they've had like rerolls to their shooting, you know, just like standard bolter boys, you know, with some plasma mixed in, doing what they do good, just never retreating, just shooting, you know, setting up those guards, setting up those overwatches, being the best at shooting. So you're going with Dark Angels again.
You know, Tyler, I'm starting to see a theme to your choices. They're all Space Marine chapters. Connor, what about you? What are you doing for the marksman?
I'm going to do the Knights of Byzantium. There we go. I'm really just having struggles.
He's literally just picking teams from the wiki.
No, I'm dead ass. I have a list and everything. And these are chapters that either I have a personal connection to or artists I know of that I follow on Instagram and shit. And this is one of the, a lot of these chapters I named were made during the Ultima founding by GW painters or employees. I don't know if they were painters specifically. But again, it's a lesser known chapter. They're a fun Iron Hand successor. I love the purplish and bronze color scheme. It's just like a fun chapter that you don't, or like not chapter, but color scheme you don't see too often. They don't really have anything specifically shouting out to me, marksman, but I just like shouting out less known chapters with cool colors.
Yeah, and I like box art, and those are all box art. Although these new ones, they actually did with the Death Watch team, they did really good at putting extra chapters in. I'll probably have to, there's like a Lamenter shoulder pad in there. I'll have to put that on some guy that is going to die every time. They had Raptors, I think, too. They had a bunch of really cool ones, and I think they have the regular, the good chapters too.
Can you post this chapter? I want to see him, Connor.
You think Connor's just making that shit up now?
I can't find him.
Here you go. Boop.
I mean, like, I don't believe
it'd be way cooler if this wasn't a real thing and Connor was actually just making it up.
I mean, I could have thrown in my own chapter. No one would fucking know, but or someone would know. But there you go. They only
appear. It's impressive.
Knights of Byzantium.
Okay. Knights of Byzantium.
Yeah, okay. I thought you said angels.
No, maybe I did, but I thought I might have misspoke.
You didn't.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But yeah, they're made by Harvey, who's this, again, that was the first photo I posted. But they've been like slowly building up their force, which has been fun because you see him appear in one of the codexes, I think, like probably the 9th or 8th edition one. But then they've shown up a couple of times in White Dwarf, where, like, you know, they always show off like people's armies and stuff. So it's been fun to see it grow over the years. And I follow them on Instagram, so I see it grow there as well.
So those are our chapters. Any operatives that stick out to y'all? They've got a lot of really cool ones. I think that the Aegis Veteran is super cool. Like, you're not going to shift him. I don't know how you kill him. Even like my Rekka boys, like even if I get, if I hit, I'd have to get 6 hits on him to actually do anything to him. Anyone's that stick out to you guys?
I mean, yeah, that guy's going to be like an absolute monster. You know, like I said, the Blade Master veteran, show me your best multi-kills with him. You know, if anyone gets, six units legit, you know, not like someone like staging it, you know, if you get six units killed in a single sweep in a legit game, send it to me. Maybe I'll send you something.
Connor, what about you? Anybody in the, in there that really,
yeah,
flims your flams?
I like the Disruptor veteran just because it's always fun to fuck with people's plans. That's always entertaining just to be like, no, that guy's not actually going to go. Especially because I use that type of shit a lot. Vox Scream is a very fun ploy to just be like, no, I don't want my guy to get melted right now. He doesn't have like a super scary gun, but that's okay because he's just a sick utility piece, and that's all you need sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Especially like on a strong team like this, you know.
Yeah, I think they've got a lot of really good guys, and even at five operatives, I think they're going to be a pretty good team. I know that like everybody says they're going to be broken. I think a lot of people are going to be playing them. I think you're going to see a lot of people seeing them. They've got just to dig into their firefight and strategic plays just a little bit. They've got a couple ones that are really good, like Shield That Slays. So if you're in your opponent's territory, you crit and hit normal damage are reduced -1. So that's pretty good.
On a 4+ damage, you know, real solid.
Yeah. And then also like they've got the basic stuff like transhuman physiology, so they can make a normal crit. Suffer Not the Alien is a really interesting one. And this is, I'm curious what you think about this one, Connor, since you're pseudo Night Lords guy now. So Suffer Not the Alien uses firefight ploy after rolling your attack dice for a friendly Death Watch operative. If it's shooting against or fighting against an operative that doesn't have Chaos or Imperium, you can reroll any of your attack dice. So they get relentless, but not against Nemesis Claw. Nemesis Claw, you're going to be able to get relentless against them because they're Imperium, right?
Yeah, I'm very, very excited for this team coming out as early as it was, because it means I can maybe just sink my teeth into my my Nemesis Claw guys. I'm glad this ploy exists, because if I am playing Nemesis Claw, I have all the advantage against them, and they don't really have much of an advantage against me, all things considered, because yeah, they're one guy less, but I can always slow delay an activation by one, so they're not likely to get their other big bonus, which is the double activation counteract. So I'm very excited this ploy exists, because it means they don't have a ton of basic rerolls against me, at least.
Yeah. A lot of their equipment's really good too. Ammunition Reserve lets you do the special issue ammunition, twice during one turning point. So you got to use different weapons to do it. The Sanctus V Bioscryer cuffs are the kind of crazy one though. So whenever you activate, you can choose, or during your activation, you can choose one of three things. You either regain D3 lost wounds, you can remove any changes to that friendly APL's stat, or you can remove tokens like Neurofragment, Poison, or Terror Chem. So, I mean, every time you're activating, you could be healing. So you got 15 wounds, a 3-up save, and you're healing every time you activate.
Yeah, that's one of the craziest like equipments I've ever seen. Yeah. Any of those really individually could be an equipment, I feel like. Or at least like the heal of D3 could be its own, and then the other two could be combined into a separate one. But the fact that's all in one is crazy good. And I feel like they're going to very quickly, if they need to nerf this team, make it you can do one of those options once, like, or each option once only once per turn. Yeah. If they needs another nerf, maybe only one of those once a turn. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking. It seems like, I feel like a theme with the new teams that are coming out, especially like the five operatives, maybe this is just from Raveners too. So Raveners are five operatives. You could take Metamorphic Flesh. So every time you activate, you get D3 lost wounds. They don't have anywhere near as much flexibility, like being able to remove stuns or being able to remove the status effects. But it seems like their way of balancing five operative teams is to give them more wounds and then give them ways to heal and stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it makes sense in theory, because every operative you lose is that much more brutal, and these guys still can get melted, like, but that one in particular just seems crazy good.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's going to be, you know, gnarly. You know, they're only five Marines. They don't have the wound count that Raveners do. for a similar operative count.
I'm actually curious if they technically have more wounds because Ravenous can only have the 5-up save while these guys have 3 at worst.
Yeah. Or 2-up on.
Yeah. And they also have built-in damage reduction, which I did across the board through that one ploy, which I think is like you're going to use that ploy every turn. So I'm curious. You'd have to run the numbers, and I don't want to run the numbers right now. That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, people smarter than us will run the numbers, but it feels like they are still going to be a really durable team, just based on the fact that if you're gonna be in your opponent's territory most of the time, and you're gonna be -1 damage on that. You're gonna be healing every time you fight. It seems like it's gonna be. And then they had a couple other things too. I thought that were. You can Long Vigil let you reroll one of your defense dice if you're being shot within your own territory. So
that seems really good turn two against like a lot of shooting teams, especially if like it's a mission that doesn't necessarily need you to move up. Mm-hmm. Mind you, those are all changing, so who knows? But like Orb in theory, you don't necessarily need to be on your opponent's half. You in fact kind of want to stay on your half and just keep throwing it back to the center.
So I had a couple other things. So this is one of the few teams too that isn't that you actually have like a roster building. We're kind of, I mean, Death Watch was a Tyler. You played Kill Team 2018. Death Watch was a staple on that team. Yeah, I think you just took a bunch of plasmas, right? But we actually have a little bit of roster building back.
Yeah, like you know, it's definitely less roster building. There's less customization, but like there's definitely more operative choices. I think they did like a good job of like selecting different operatives to represent. Different archetypes that Space Marines can be, you know, like without bringing back like the whole it can take this or this or this or this or this or this or this, you know, or just like maxing out like the absolute best stuff you could do.
Yeah, they don't really have the you're not choosing which weapons you take, you're choosing which operatives to take, but there's 11 operatives, so you have a lot of different guys you can mix and match to switch out. I think I'm gonna try and get a game in this weekend potentially, just throwing together what I have for Marines, and whatever team it makes is what it makes. I'm not really gonna try and like min max it or anything, but it'd be cool to actually get a game with these guys. Connor, you got any thoughts on Death Watch? What do you think of them?
Go ahead.
Oh, besides the fact that your Nemesis Claw are gonna dominate them.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'll need to get some test matches in, but I'm very optimistic for that. They look cool as shit. Pretty much, I'm not a Death Watch guy, so I don't know a ton of their lore, but I'm really glad that they probably exist in Kill Team now, because it's funny that we've been 5 years in a Kill Team without a Death Watch team, like a real one. I love you, Compendium, but let's be real here. The only thing I'm kind of sad they don't have is for some reason, vaguely recall these guys having a lot of the Nova bombs or like the black hole bombs that appeared in the Space Marine like bolt gun game. Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no. I mean, like they do theoretically, but like it's more like Death Watch RPG.
Gotcha. Okay. I just remembered it that like that might be wise. Maybe it was just like that was to me the Death Watch weapon. So I'm kind of sad they don't have like the classic Grenadier guy that could throw like some crazy crack grenade, but the Melted Bomb guy is there, so he'll cover just fine.
I mean, like, you know, I think that the defining factor for them has always been their special ammo.
Yeah.
Like when I think of Death Watch, that's like their thing, you know.
It's very
Do you feel like they did it justice with how they rolled it out in this?
I mean, yeah, for sure. They did a good job with it, you know. I think previously, last edition, you selected one in the pregame, like in the it'd be like the equipment step equivalent of this, and then that's what you had for the entire game.
Tyler, do you wish though that instead of it just saying like you choose piercing one, that they had the like special names for them, like Mortis Round and stuff?
They absolutely should have had that. I've already seen like 3 things on Reddit talking about which one should be which one.
Mm-hmm. I think that they should. So like, here's the one change that I think they should get. I think that you should either get to pick one or you get to roll twice.
Ooh, for a random effect. Bring those back. I always love that in like 40K and old stuff where you can
absolutely
where you can roll 2 but you don't get the exact one you might want.
Yeah, like let's add a little bit of spice, you know? Like
if this was Kill Team 21, that would absolutely exist, especially because like they'd still have those narrative like rules and whatnot.
Yeah, and like I do miss that they don't have the Death Watch shotgun like
Yeah.
Or like And there's no like basic warrior with a bolter and a power sword.
Is this, you know, like the first time we've ever had a kill team without a basic warrior equivalent?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like now Raveners have a warrior equivalent.
Yeah, and like so, I'm trying to think, like even the white dwarf teams all have like a warrior equivalent, like a Rubric warrior or a Skitarii shock trooper. And this is also the first time we don't have to pick the leader, which is in itself kind of fun. I thought that would be like the one rule that would never get broken, just because like every team needs a leader.
I mean, they're all kind of leaders.
Yeah.
They're all 15 wounds or more.
True,
or
but
whatever the leader is for that armor set. But Zarin, Patreon and top tier Patreon, had a hot take. Zarin said that Raveners are better than Death Watch still. Do you guys think that? Do you think Raveners kind of seem to be out there doing some work lately? I don't know. Have you had a chance to play against them yet?
They seem good. For my two games. They do seem
good. Yeah, they're good. They're annoying. Zarin thinks that they're better than Death Watch. I don't know. I think the Death Watch, I mean, it seems like Death Watch can put a lot of damage downfield, and they can soak up a lot of damage too.
Yeah, I think you're gonna, if you're playing Death Watch, you want to bring this oops all the piercing and just try and obliterate them very quickly, because Raveners are a 5-up save, like one guy's got a 4, but you know, remove those save dice in the first place and you have a lot of high damage weapons, like, you know, the 5-dice plasma gun, the melta bomb, the straight up, the fact that you can shoot a bolt pistol twice now. Like, I don't think that's one that's called out where it would require the third APL use, but now you can just shoot that with a dev and overcharge, so it's got lethal 5 dev 1. Like, there's a lot of ways you can just nuke a specific target, and I think Raveners are very susceptible to that.
Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I'm super excited for this box. I sent you all the meme today of I don't want to play with this toy anymore for the Battleclade, but actually I played a game with Sam.
Oh, never mind, plasma pistol does count as you have to use all three. Sorry, go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, played a game with Sam with Battleclade this weekend and started to figuring them out a little bit more. I'm actually really kind of enjoying the Battleclade. They got some tricks. I won. I beat Nemesis Claw. So,
hey, proud of you, kind of.
Hey, yeah. So we'll see. I'm gonna get the Death Watch going, but I'm picking away at my Battleclade too, and we'll see. Maybe I'll continue on with them.
So are you gonna do them like classic Death Watch all in black and all that jazz, Chuck?
Come on, dude. I'm a basic box art bitch.
I know. And then Tyler, are you just painting these up as Death Watch Dark Angels or just straight up Dark Angels?
I mean, like, so I'm gonna convert as many of my old Death Watch.
Oh, that'll be fucking sweet.
They're gonna cross the Rubicon Primaris. And normally, normally I don't believe in repainting minis and stuff like that, but these guys, they're getting like bits broken off of them.
So you're gonna use the actual old school minis. You're not gonna like keep the old...
I'm using like heads and stuff like that. You know, like the people who they are coming across. So like, or if I'm not using the exact same head, I'm going to use like the same head.
Yeah, like a general type or something. Okay. Oh yeah, that makes sense. That's cool. So, I like that idea of like them now crossing the Rubicon and showing up still. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna like hopefully take some like photos. Maybe they're gonna go on a final mission and get killed by some Tyranids or something. Maybe my Drakari. You know, like
classic ambush.
Absolutely. You know, and then like they'll get saved and have to cross the Rubicon Primaris. Technically, a couple of them already have. You know, I do have a couple Marines in my Dark Angels who are supposed to be those people, like, you know, cross the Rubicon and like have geared up and taken other positions and stuff like that already. So, but they're geared differently, so I'm gonna have to reconvert them and repaint them.
Nice. That's very cool. I always love seeing like people use the old models, or like having the stage of progression in a model's career where they like build a new version of that model, keep the old one, but like here's this, you know, basic guardsman that survived like a crazy attack in one of your 40K games. So now he gets promoted to sergeant and then gets promoted to like lieutenant and so on type of thing. That's always very fun to see the little like actual storyline of the fun little plastic toy we have.
Absolutely. Like, you know, part of the fun is like all of the stories that people create, you know, this Kill Team Cascadia is known for being a competitive organization, but like my heart is in like the little narrative moments, like those moments when you're playing with someone, you're like, what's going on here? You know, like, why are people fighting? You know, like, what is the story behind this moment that's leading to this, you know? Just like sometimes you don't even talk about it with your opponent. Sometimes it's just in your head. But like it's fun, you know.
It's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
So a couple things real quick. I want to say happy birthday, Jed. Jed apparently starting their birthday celebrations as we record this. So
oh, happy birthday.
Don't get too drunk on Nick Offerman whiskey. Also, there was we have an Ask Vox Cascadia question from Zarin, and a little bit of controversy that came up from our episode last week. Zarin asks, will Chuck make me breakfast at CritCon? And the answer is no. CritCon tradition is I get a breakfast crunch wrap every morning on the way to CritCon. I will bring you one if you want, though. But Tyler, you apparently got thrown a little bit of shade by your partner about your mild takes on breakfast.
Yeah, I don't like breakfast that much. Eggs don't always sit well with me. So it's like it's a gamble, you know. It's not that breakfast isn't good. It's just that it's not my favorite meal.
You know, breakfast doesn't have to be eggs. You can very easily do breakfast without
eggs. Eggs are like the best part of breakfast. You know,
I don't know. Dude.
I mean, pancakes exist, man. That's a
biscuits and gravy,
waffles.
Biscuits and gravy are good. Like, there's plenty of stuff, but like, you know, I'm more like a sandwich. You know, I'd rather have a BLT than that stuff.
So I made so this past week I made a couple different breakfasts. So one of them was just like basically a potato hash with some roasted potatoes, but with biscuits and gravy. With some avocado, some sauteed peppers and onions. Then the next day, I actually took the peppers, potatoes, and made almost like a frittata out of them with egg. Put them on a bun with some Impossible hamburger patties that I'd smashed really thin, and put gravy on top of it. Now that was a breakfast sandwich.
That sounds pretty damn good.
It was killer.
Yeah. Hey, let me try it.
Yeah, I mean, you just gotta agree that breakfast is the best meal of the day.
That seems a bit excessive.
I mean, like that's excessive. It's not. It's a good meal. Like, you know, I like, you know, it's not.
Breakfast is unequivocally the best meal of the day. Now, the thing is, you don't have to eat breakfast at breakfast, but if you eat like dinner at breakfast, it's weird. But if you have breakfast for dinner, it's totally fine.
That's ableist.
No, it's not. It's just pure facts.
I disagree. I don't know if it's actually ableist, but that seemed like a good response right there.
Yeah, I figured you'd throw something out like that. But so tell us, what is the best meal of the day and why is Chuck right and it's breakfast? So
it's lunch. Lunch is the best meal of the day.
Why would lunch be the best meal of the day?
Why wouldn't it be?
Because you have breakfast.
I feel like if anything, people would vote lunch the worst.
Like, can we compromise at brunch?
No, because brunch is just basically breakfast that you ate late.
I mean, it's breakfast or lunch, you know, it's either one.
But I want to call it one of the main meals.
But are you having anything for brunch that's not just basically a breakfast food that you ate later?
I mean, yeah, like oftentimes when I go to breakfast, I'm getting a sandwich like a BLT or any other food that's not a breakfast food.
That's just early lunch. That's not brunch.
If it's served at brunch time.
No, but Sherry's served things 24 hours 7.
Dude, I miss Sherry's. I used to go there all the time.
Sherry's was a Northwest staple, rest in peace.
Yeah, it was where I would go after every prom and like homecoming or just any night out with the boys because they were always open.
Tyler, I feel like you either have some amazing stories about Sherry's or never set foot into a Sherry's once.
I mean, I've definitely spent many hours in a Sherry's, but I was more of a Denny's guy, personally. you know, like when it comes down to it, Denny's is superior to Sherry's.
I don't know about that one either.
The one time I went to Denny's, they fucked up my order and I got sick.
We had a solid Denny's by me. So,
I mean, we had Sherry's here. Sherry's is, and for those who don't know, Sherry's is that like kind of like Denny's, like
octagon 24 hour.
Yeah, all the buildings were octagon shaped.
Do you know why that is, Chuck?
No, why?
Fun architecture fact. It was back because they were designed when smoking was still allowed. So one wing would be where you could smoke inside the building and the other wing you could not.
I guess that makes sense. But Sherry's was around the Northwest for a long time. They just recently closed all the locations, but they had full menu all day long and super mediocre pies and average food, but they were open 24 hours a day. It was great.
They at least had sugar-free key lime, so shout out to them for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one time I went there and they served me non-cooked wings and I sent them back and they like microwaved those same wings that I'd taken a bite out of for like 10 seconds and brought them back to me.
Did you finish them?
No, I was fucking pissed.
Mm. Yeah. And with that, it's time to wrap it up, gentlemen. Thanks for the chat. Well, so I'm giving you guys homework, and so therefore I'm giving myself homework. So next week we'll talk about the Necron team and we'll talk about the Tomb World terrain. Yeah. So
wait, do we even know the terrain rules yet? Has that been revealed at all?
Yes. Right. Yeah, the terrain rules came out too. So they're pretty, it's pretty much into the dark with a little bit of a little bit of flair with them and some light terrain that actually goes on the board. So
even on the match play ones,
I think so. I don't know the way that people were talking. It sounds like it is.
Okay, cool.
But but yeah, thanks for joining us. Let's see. We've got CritCon coming up in like 50 days, 54 days or something like that.
Yeah,
I know. We just keep adding events to it. So even if you're listening to us because you like mediocre kill team takes, but if you have friends who play Shatterpoint, Legion, 40K tournament just got launched.
Painting classes.
We've got painting classes. We were going to have 30K. We've got Rogue Trader.
Warmaster.
We'll have a dunk take with Chuck in it.
Yeah, Manowar. You know, we have a bunch of cool vendors that you can buy stuff from after you have won or lost your games. A lot of great stuff.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, before, Bridge City Hobbies is sponsoring the Killscream 4 tournament. We're gonna have at least one Tomb World box, and we're gonna have a bunch of combat patrols. They've got some great painting stuff, including some amazing brushes and some sets from the army painter. Board Bard Games is going to be sponsoring the doubles tournament as well as the 30K. Mox Boarding House is also sponsoring the Rogue Trader tournament, the 40K tournament. So, and we should be announcing soon a sponsor for all the hobby classes too. So, we're doing like real convention shit this year.
Absolutely. I was actually over at the coast this weekend. I talked to a shop there, and they said that they may want to sponsor an event too. So, stay tuned. You know.
Yeah, we had somebody reach out today about Cyberpunk, I think. So Tyler, you got to get back to that guy.
Too many people to get back to. It feels like as it closes in, more and more interest, you know. So
yeah, October 24th, 25th, 26th, you'll hear the promo at the beginning of the episode too. CascadiaTabletop.com is where you can find all the information. At Spanaway on everything for Connor, Painting Cave, at Painting Cave Minis on Instagram for me. Tyler's at Lowbrow Minis and DiceArtUpBigCartel.com. Your orb shirts are live right now, right?
They are live, you know. And the fuck shirts just finished up, the Florida United Kill Team ones. Those came out incredible.
Yeah. Patreon.com/FoxCascadiaPodcast. We really appreciate the support. I played a game with Sam, mentioned Zarin earlier. We also got Cody.
We mentioned him in his chapter.
Yeah. Mark Meyer from Vox Scream, Thomas Taverner, Scott Shearer, Ryan Hagedorn, Keaton. Let's see. Sorry, I'm going through the list backwards.
Jenna.
Scott, Zach, Rob McLeod. I haven't talked to Rob in a while. I need to reach out to Rob, LAFC fan. Greg, Spanaway, it's free.
I'm not sending you money where we lose money.
Holly, Nick, Sean, I already mentioned Cody and Sam. And Jenna, you need to resubscribe if you're listening. So,
That's right.
I think her card expired or something, and she just never got back onto it. So, don't worry, I'm compensated by her in other ways, and those other ways are she cleans sometimes for me.
That's nice, I guess.
Yeah, I cook for her.
Oh, that's fair. That's good treatment, though.
Yeah, so, well, thanks everybody for joining us. Again, gentlemen, homework, Necrons.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay, yeah. Orb, so, right?
Orb. All right, Tyler.
We love you. Good night.